Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Last week, or no, was it early this week, we talked to an expert on immigration after the president in his State of the Union address put out the four planks of his plan for how to deal with DACA, how to deal with legal and illegal immigration in this country. There were 4 points, and we were going over it with somebody who is on the conservative view of this sort of thing. She was terrific, she was reasonable, and she sure seemed to have her facts and numbers down, but at the end of the interview, I thought, okay, that's one view of it, and it was pretty positive about what the president is promoting. I think her only real problem with it was that it was maybe a little too generous. It could have been even stricter. And so I thought, okay, what is the other side of that coin? The director of research at the American Immigration Council is Guillermo Cantor, and he joins us now on WGN. Guillermo, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me.
I got a lot of weather to talk about here, so let's very quickly talk to you and make as much ground or headway as we can. I sent you that interview that we did last week or earlier this week. You heard it, right?
I did, yes.
and in general, was I misled or what did you think about that?
Well, there are so many things I could talk about, but yes, we definitely do not share most of those views, and even the data, I feel, was somewhat mischaracterized and limited in understanding what's at stake here. And I think that the most important thing to do at this time when you're thinking about how our immigration system can work better is to tackle this from a philosophical perspective first. It's like, what is it that we are trying to do with the immigration system? And then think about the specific tactics that would help you get there.
Well, what do you think we should have as an overarching policy about immigration? Answer your own question.
Oh, well, so a couple of things, and I think I'm going to refer to like the main issues that are being discussed right now. I think that legal immigration is definitely one of those areas that need to be discussed, but the discussion should not be about whether to keep or not certain categories of our immigration system as they exist today, but basically to have this more fundamental discussion about how is it that, why is it that we have an immigration system and what do we want this system to achieve? So, for example, any country admits immigrants or foreign nationals who are seeking residence in its territory to respond to it because of a number of reasons. One could be because the country wants to recruit immigrants as workers, sometimes to deal with some labor shortages in particular industries. There are humanitarian reasons why countries admit immigrants, including the U.S. And there is one reason why they do that, which has to do with the fact that a lot of members of the country, citizens and residents, want to reunite with some family members. So the U.S. has addressed some of these issues with the current immigration system, but there.
Okay, hold on. Hold on for a second. So you're referencing chain migration. The plan will limit that, as I understand it, but it won't eliminate it. That is, you would still be able to bring your spouse and your kids and your parents over under the president's proposal. Am I right about that?
I think it's just spouses and minor children. I think those are the only categories that will remain, and the current system has some other categories as well.
Well, one of the points that our previous guest made was that too many of the immigrants, if you will, say you have a limited number of people that you want to allow into your country, too many of them have been coming from Mexico and India, just literally a few countries, and that we should try and find a way to maybe diffuse that. What is your thought about that?
Well, what happened after 1965, when this law that we have today was became the law of the land. So after then, the migration was largely coming from certain regions in the world. Certainly, Mexico and Asia, Latin America and Asia became the two main regions from which immigrants come today. However, there is a component of the system that is the diversity visa, which specifically aims at fixing this imbalance and allowing people from countries that send very few immigrants to the United States to be able to have an opportunity. And this works through a lottery system. My understanding is that your speaker last week was very critical of this, if anything.
Well, I'll play your soundbite for her. I'll play her soundbite for you. Here, let's do it now. Let's just walk through a couple of the things that our guest said, and we'll get to that point in just a minute. First, she talked about what are the most important pillars of the president's plan. LFS is cut 7. Here are, she said, the two pillars that need the most attention.
The two pillars that make the most sense together are the amnesty for at least some of the Dreamers, paired with cuts to chain migration to offset those numbers.
Your thought about that?
Sure. So, yeah, no, evidently the issue with the Dreamers is a problem that the president created by terminating DACA a few months ago, the deferred action for childhood arrival, that was a temporary fix to that issue. So now, yes, the president is saying that we need to have a solution on that, but the solution comes with a lot of conditions that are really changing dramatically the way in which some components of the immigration system work today. So I have to say that I completely disagree that the price for getting reform or some sort of relief for this population, for the Dreamers, or like a Dream Act that would give them a path for to citizenship, would be to eliminate categories of family-based immigration. And I'm saying that because we were in this situation in 1986, in which there was an amnesty indeed. There was a program that legalized several million people that who were current at the time undocumented in the country. But and that came with border enforcement and some other mechanisms to ensure that new undocumented immigrants would not come. So what happened is that system did not have any component that would create a legal pathway for those who would be attracted to migrate to the United States and for whom there would be jobs available. And so these people ended up coming anyway, and they came through, you know, unauthorized channels. So what happens is that if you don't have in the system components that would allow people who are needed as workers in the United States, in particular industries, they heavily rely on migrant labor. And so if you don't have a channel for these people to come legally, you are, you know, indirectly creating the incentive for people to...
Yeah, I understand that. That's where we are now. Okay, but she actually talked about that. This is cut 8, Elif. The people who she said would... And this is Jessica Vaughn. She was with the Center for Immigration Studies. She still is. She was on with us earlier. She says, here are the people who will benefit the most from the president's reforms.
People who are struggling, who for whatever reason haven't had a lot of higher education, who are working in jobs where they have not seen much of a pay increase over the years, like construction and food processing and landscaping. A lot of these jobs are also taken by illegal immigrants or new immigrants. There needs to be some relief for them as well.
She's talking about U.S. citizens and residents here. We can't just let this cheap labor keep pouring in, keeping wages depressed and taking jobs. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I think that's a mischaracterization of what's actually happening. Well, I completely agree that, you know, people who are in that situation, less educated, native-born Americans who are working in or who are, like, having trouble finding jobs should be, you know, a target of, like, specific policies that could help them secure the education they need or programs that help them find the jobs or get the training for the jobs that they could do. That's essential, but that's a different issue. I think that if you look at the research that has been done on migrant labor and how it relates to the native-born population, what you see is that to a large extent they complement each other because they are, for the most part, located in different industries. So it is not there, there are some industries you can talk to employers that have experienced shortages for a very long time. So I think that a good solution there is to have more information and to have a system that would attract the workers and allow the workers that the economy needs when the economy is growing and is creating jobs that cannot be filled with native-born labor, then the system should expand. And then if there is a period of recession or in which the economy is not creating new jobs, then the system should contract accordingly. So the current system doesn't have any of that flexibility to adjust to the economic cycle. And I think that would be a wise solution, a solution that would be based on evidence and not just on prejudice or like preconceptions about how immigrants are affecting the
economy. Guillermo, I have less than a minute left, but the chief of staff for the president said that a lot of these people who aren't availing themselves of the system that's in place were either too afraid of the system or too lazy to actually take advantage of it. What do you have to say about that?
So who was he talking specifically about?
John Kelly said that these people who aren't signing up for the DACA, Steve, help me with it. They aren't signing up for the, Steve's doing something right now. They're too lazy to get off their ass and actually participate in the program. If
you're talking about like people who are eligible for DACA who have not applied?
Correct.
So a lot of people have applied. We have like hundreds of thousands of individuals who have applied, but the program has been terminated by the president. It has been rescinded a few months ago. And so what happens is that there is some extension until March, but after that, day after day, some people are getting off status of the program. So I don't see that that's an accurate statement. A lot of people have signed up for this program, have trusted the program, and then now they're very concerned. They're very worried about what can happen to them if there is not a legislative solution for their situation.
We'll follow that there. Guillermo, thanks for your time this afternoon. He is the Director of Research at the American Immigration Council in Washington, D.C. I appreciate your time this afternoon.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's 151, Dow going down, possible weather, snow accumulations going up. Tom Skilling's going to give us a broader look at what exactly you can think is what he thinks might happen after the 2 o'clock news. It's 152 on WGN.